here again. This church has a special place in our hearts. We love each and every one of you. Y'all are very special to us. This is where me and Leanne began our Christian life together as husband and wife. This is where we were married. Wasn't that long ago. Boy, is God good. But we did have a good time this morning there at Hebron Baptist Church in Salvisa, Kentucky, where Brother George died and members there. But it is great to be here with each and every one of you. As I said, y'all are very special to us. We do appreciate the support that y'all send to us every month. Appreciate your prayers. Appreciate your love. We do ask that you continue to pray for us. I talked to Brother Robbie this afternoon, and he said they had good services this morning. Had a good turnout. I wasn't there, so. But no, he did have a chance to go and visit Brother Hancock. Do remember Brother Hancock in prayers if he crosses your mind. He is not doing well at all. Pray for Sister Hancock as she's getting very tired. It's a hard job. Thankful for their testimony. Thankful for this opportunity to preach. If you will tonight, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm not going to do to you what I did to Hebron this morning at Salvisa, where I preached four messages in one message. Said, I'm going to give y'all something new this evening. Hebrews chapter 12, very familiar text, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Bible reads, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this evening, so thankful once again for this privilege and honor that I have to preach your word this evening. Father, I pray that you'll just move me out the way this evening. Father, you might empty me of myself. Father, fill me with your spirit. Give me the strength and the words that your people need to hear this evening. And Father, we do thank you for the folks there at Riverside and their faithfulness this morning to be in the house of God. And Father, we look forward to getting back there. But Father, we're thankful for this time that we have with the dear saints here at Faith Baptist Church. And Father, we're so thankful for them. Father, I pray that you'll open their hearts to receive what you have for them this evening. And bless the preaching and reading of your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Christian walk is not a marathon. It's not a sprint. I mean, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And if we're going to run this Christian race that is set before us, we're going to have to learn how to do it patiently. I've seen many of people who get on fire for the Lord, and it seems like they burn out just as quick as they get on fire. You need to learn to pace yourselves. There's going to be trials and temptations. There's going to be times that become discouraging and depressing. Nowhere in the Bible do you find that the Christians are promised an easy life. In fact, Jesus told us the very opposite in John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Difficulties are going to come. Trials are going to come. Storms will cross our paths, and often we might be tempted to quit on God. We might be tempted to drop out of the race, if you will. That seems to be what the writer of these verses is trying to get across to these weary, hurting believers. He's trying to encourage them to be faithful to the Lord, to continue to run the race, despite what they may be facing in their life. As I said, the Christian life is not a sprint. Is a marathon. The writer's talking about running a race that requires endurance and preparation. We need to endure to the end, and if we're going to do that, then we need to prepare ourselves so that we can endure to the end. Tonight, I know I'm in no shape to run a marathon, not physically. But I can be in the kind of spiritual shape that you need to be in to run a patient race. Today it seems like runners are dropping out everywhere you turn. It's easy to be discouraged when you see our numbers in our churches dropping instead of increasing. But when trials come, and there may be a temptation to drop out for a while and let others do the running, tonight I want to try to encourage you to stay in the race. Stay faithful to the Lord. Let me share with you a few things that are given to us in these three verses that will help you and I as we run this race that Christ has set before us. I don't know what you may be facing this evening as you run your race, but I do know that these things that the writer has written here will help you to run a patient race. My goal tonight is to help you be able to say, like the Apostle Paul, at the end of your Christian race, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Looking at verse 1, the first thing we need to do to run a patient race is we need to consider the saints. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That's how the writer begins this chapter. He begins by drawing our attention to this great cloud of witnesses. Well, who are this great cloud of witnesses? Who can they be? Well, it's those saints that have gone on before us. I think of many godly women in my life. I thank God for the godly men that have helped shape me into the Christian man that I am today. But I thank God for those godly women that God placed in my life also in my early Christian life. See, it was a woman that invited me to church. Mrs. Elma White. I've never seen a person that she met that she didn't share the gospel with. Boy, I wish I could be like her and have the zeal to tell everyone I met how good God is and tell them all about the gospel. Well, this chapter begins by telling us to consider the saints, drawing our attention to this great cloud of witnesses. And all you need to do is look back at chapter 11 to see some of these witnesses that this writer is referring to. In verse 7, he refers to Noah. Verses 8 through 10, he mentions Abraham, and then again in verses 17 through 19. In verse 11 of chapter 11, he mentions Sarah. Verse 22, he mentions Joseph. Verses 23 through 29, he mentions Moses. And in verse 31, he mentions Rahab. These are just some of the great cloud of witnesses. I didn't even mention Daniel or the three Hebrew boys that you find in the book of Daniel. But there's some truth about these witnesses that I have mentioned and those that have been maybe helped shape your life that went on before you that can encourage us as we run a patient race. Remember, they have run their race. These are people who actually ran the race that God had given them. Some of them didn't run it perfectly, but they ran. They didn't quit until the race was finished. They endured some unspeakable pain and suffering. Still, they ran a patient race. But now, they're not here. They're present with the Lord. Their race is run. They have finished their race. And that should be encouraging to us as well as a challenge to us. If these people could run their race, then we can run the one that God has for us to run also. See, there was nothing special about these saints. Look over at James chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. This is one I didn't mention a while ago. James chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. Bible reads, Elias was a man subject to passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Elijah was a man just like you and I. But are you as close to God where you can be like Elijah and pray that it not rain for 3.5 years? Elijah was a common man. He was an ordinary man, just like you and I, but he was close to God. These witnesses were common men and women, everyday people, but they have faith in God. If they can live for the Lord, then we can live for the Lord also. These saints also have received their reward. They ran their race. Now they're able to rest in the presence of God and praise Him. The prize is theirs because they ran and they ran well. They ran a patient race. When this race is over, we'll go and be with our Lord there in heaven, where we too will receive the rewards that we've earned during the course of our race here on earth. Look over at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. We have a crown awaiting us. We're looking forward to that day and love his appearing. You know, they have revealed that God is faithful. The greatest thing that we can get to encourage us from these saints is the fact that their lives are proof of the faithfulness of God. Don't you know that if God took care of them, He can take care of you. He honored their faith, He'll honor yours also. He blessed their lives and got glory from their lives, and He can do the same with yours. They're witnesses to the faithfulness of God. They ran a patient race, and so can you and I. God is no respecter of persons. He'll be with you just as He was with Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, or any of the other great witnesses of the faith. Because God is faithful. Not only should we consider the saints, but we should also consider ourselves. Look, if you will, back at verse 1 of our text again in Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There are some preparations that we must make to run a patient race. When a runner is getting ready to run a marathon, they don't go out there looking like me with no training whatsoever and just run a marathon. I probably couldn't run to that door back there and I'll be flat on my face. But these people who run marathons, they train and they run and they run and they run. They prepare themselves to run that marathon. And there's some things that we need to do spiritually to prepare ourselves to run this Christian race that is before us today. We'll never reach our fullest potential for the Lord until we're willing to make the preparations and sacrifices that are necessary. In verse 1, it said that we need to lay aside all weights. We need to make sure we get them extra weights, some things that are hindering us, removed from our body. So I said, somebody like me is not going to get out there and run a marathon. I need to lose some weight first. Spiritually speaking, this is speaking of anything that hinders our walk with God. It speaks of those things that are innocent in and of themselves. I've been teaching through Song of Solomon on Wednesday night. It talks about beware the little foxes that creep in unawares. That's talking about them little sins that we don't think too much of. We think a lot about the big sins, adultery, fornication. But we don't think too much about them little bitty sins, about being faithful to the house of God, faithful in our study of the Word of God. And it's them little sins that'll get you. They're weights. They must go. Other things are seeking entertainment instead of spending time with God. Sometimes you might want to turn off that football game that you want to watch so bad and spend time with God. Yeah, I'm speaking to myself now. Seeking possessions and things of this world instead of seeking God. Giving our attention to things like music, television, movies, anything that might take our focus off of God, we need to set them things aside. Get rid of them. These are just a few examples. But anything that doesn't build us up for the Lord is a weight. And we need to get rid of it. We also need to lay aside all sins. Them besetting sins, it says. Those sins which cling to us, distract us, and trip up the Christian runner. There are many sins that I can mention here, but it's speaking of that sin which might easily trip you up, that one that you struggle with individually. Each of us have a sin that we struggle with day to day in our lives. We need to get rid of it. You know where you're weak. There are sins that don't tempt you at all, but there are others that are a constant source of temptation. There are sins that bother you, give you a hard time, that might not give me a hard time. While there are sins that give me a hard time, that might not give you a hard time. It's that particular sin which trips you up. It must be removed at all costs if you're going to run a patient race. And we must run with patience. We must settle in for the long run. We must face the trials of life. There's going to be times when things hit us And we become so discouraged, we don't feel like going on. But we need to just keep trudging on. Matter of fact, when we get so discouraged that we don't feel like going on, that's when we need to get on our knees in the closet and spend time with God. Ask Him to give us strength so that we can continue. Notice there the phrase, the race that is set before us. We each have our own race to run. Each of us don't run the same race. God has a race for you. He has a race for me. He has a race for Brother Joe. Every one of our races is different. We all have our own race to run. That means you can't run my race and I can't run yours. I'm convinced that many Christians have been hindered because they refuse to run their own race. They want to tell somebody else how to run theirs. We're not in competition. We're on the same team. My job's not to outrun you. My job's to run for Jesus and finish the race that He has set for me. Each of our courses have been individually designed. The race that you're running has been prepared for you. The race that I'm running has been prepared for me. And the best thing that I can do is run that race that God has given me to the best of my ability. That's how you run with patience. Then we must guard our priorities. Verse 2 tells us that we're to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. A lot of times, while we trip during our run, it's because we get our eyes off Jesus. We start looking back instead of looking forward. We need to keep our eyes looking forward. Keep our eyes on Him. He finished the course that was laid out for Him. He ran a patient race. While we run, we must not look at the other runners. We must not look at everyone else and see how good they're doing, because that causes us to become distracted and it might trip us up. Our eyes will be on Jesus, the one who started the race, and He started us on our race. He's the one that will greet us at the end of our race. Our primary duty is to look at Him. So we're to consider the saints, consider ourselves, and lastly, we should consider the Savior. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. As we run our race and we look to Jesus, we're told several things about His race that we need to look to that will help us and encourage us as we run the race that He has given to us. Consider the race that He ran. His race was a hard one. It began in poverty and it ended on a cross. His race was a race that took Him on a course lined with hatred, bitterness, opposition, and a desire to see Him dead. His race was a race that set the perfect example of how we should run our race. He never stumbled or failed. He never lost sight of the goal, and He never quit running until the race had been finished. John chapter 19, verse 30 says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, it is finished. He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. He had ran His race. He didn't stumble. He didn't fall. He finished His race. And when you feel like quitting, when you want to just quit and give up, just look to Jesus and consider the race that He ran for you. Because it was for you that He went to that cross. And He endured that pain and suffered. He did it all for you. When you consider Him, then run, Christian, run. Consider the reasons that He ran His race. We read that Jesus ran for the joy that was set before Him. Where's the joy in going to a cross? Where's the joy in dying like a common criminal? Where's the joy in being rejected by the very people that you love? For Jesus, the joy was what would happen when He finished His race. For Him, the joy was the day of redemption that would bring about the following: the salvation of the elect. The day when He would be in heaven with the redeemed of the ages. The day He would reclaim the glory He had shared with the Father from eternity past. That's why Jesus ran His race. He was able to look past that cross. He was able to despise the shame. Think beyond everything that He was called upon to face in this world. And He was able to see you and I. He ran His race for us. He ran His race for the elect of God. We motivated the heart of the Savior to go to that cross and to die. And we need to get to the place where we're able to look beyond that suffering that we might be enduring, that little small suffering compared to what He suffered. Get beyond our trials and imagine that day when we'll be home with Him. Oh, what a day that will be when my Savior I shall see. And I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. If that don't give you a second wind when you're running a race, I don't know what will. But consider His reward. Jesus ran His race and He ran it well. And when He finished, He sat down with the Father. Jesus knew where He was headed. And that made His race a whole lot easier to run. The same is true for you and I. I love John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's what we have to look forward to. That ought to push us to continue running the race when we feel like quitting. Verse 3 tells us that Jesus endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. He endured more than the cross to finish His race. Just think of what He endured here on earth. He was born to an unwed mother. He was born in a stable. Born to poor parents. His life was even threatened as a baby. His family had to take Him to Egypt. His birth was the cause of many deaths. He had no place to lay His head. He was rejected, hated, and opposed by those who came to hear Him speak. He was betrayed by one of His very own disciples. He was left alone and forsaken at the foot of the cross by all of His friends except for John. And He was executed as a common criminal by means of crucifixion. Has anyone here tonight suffered to that degree? I don't think so. That's why we're told to compare our sufferings with His when we feel like giving up. He endured until the end so that we could be saved. He stands as our example. We can run with patience the race that is set before us because Jesus has already been around that course and He's able to help us as we run. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Jesus has already won that race for us. The victory is ours. That should encourage us to run a patient race. Our race isn't for nothing. Look, if you will, at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The victory is won. It's over. All we have to do is finish our race. Bible reads, O death, in verse 55, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How's your race going this evening? Are you running a patient race? Do you need to be encouraged this evening? Let me challenge you, get your eyes back on Jesus. Get your eyes off what's happening in the world, all these distractions, the things that are going on, and get your eyes back on Him. Stop looking at everyone else. Stop looking at the circumstances through which you are running and look to Jesus. Get rid of those weights, those little bitty foxes, if you will, that creep in unaware. Remove them besetting sins. And make up your mind this evening that you're going to run a patient race. And that you're going to be like Paul. And finish it. Brother Joe, if you'll come.